Heavenly Father, may the words that I speak, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Guide us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know that St. Luke, in writing his gospel in two volumes, you know, one, the gospel, and volume two, the Acts of the Apostles, is placing Jesus' followers right in the middle of the great sweep of God's plan to bring creation to what it's supposed to be. It isn't yet what it's meant to be. We are created to be in the image of God, the creator, not the destroyer. And fire and fury are not the same thing as saving, restoring grace. In Genesis chapter 1, when God has made everything, the whole creation, the whole cosmos, and he's put people in it to look after that part of it which is the earth. The 31st verse of Genesis 1 tells us that God saw all that he'd seen and made, and it was very good. Nothing gets slaughtered. No one gets nuked. People even eat plants, not animals. It's there. And there is great harmony and great good. And it is good. And in the next chapter, in chapter 2, there's this lovely, intimate look at what it's like for creatures on this planet until humanity steps out of fellowship with God. And then the world becomes a more hostile place. People and animals are set against each other. And even the plants are enemies. Thorns and thistles. And the man and the woman have their nakedness and their shame covered through the death of animals. God, in grace and kindness, as they are banished from the Garden of Eden, makes clothes for them out of the skins of animals. And death has come. Creation has been marred by human disobedience to God, and everything suffers. I was really struck by that image in another way a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing for the Passion Day memorial service down here at the memorial in Sawston. And I was reading up on it to try and understand it. And there's these unimaginable descriptions of a landscape where there is not a single thing alive. The trees are no more, they're just shattered splinters of wood. The ground has been turned into an eternal quagmire, and any soldier that slips off the plank walks, that finds its way around, that drops into this mire, is doomed. Their friends can't even drag them out of it, and slowly, bit by bit, they die. There's not an animal alive, and the pictures of this place are utter and absolute desolation, unimaginable. There's nothing left living in that desolate, battered landscape. And I thought not only of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of innocent young men who died out there and suffered out there in that terrible travesty of what creation's meant to be about. but also that every animal was gone. The flora was gone. The fauna was gone. What happened to those animals? They were destroyed in the midst of human futility. Everything. It isn't just people who suffer when violence and force are embraced as a solution to our problems. When we step with God, all creation suffers, and the image of God that is put upon us is turned into a travesty. And the partnership with the Creator is parodied when we become destroyers and not co-creators. St. Luke sees Jesus and those who follow him as being partners in the restoration of creation. And he does it in beautiful and subtle ways by telling the story with his eyes open to what God is doing in that story. Back at the beginning of Luke's gospel, he writes a genealogy. Now, I wonder how many of you have looked with awe and wonder upon the genealogy that Luke writes. Probably not many. But he does it with a purpose. Because while Matthew writes his genealogy in the gospel, he carefully points out that Jesus is the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob, and so it goes on. While Matthew, makes the point that Jesus is the son of Abraham, the son of David, so therefore he's the inheritor of the covenant promise of the faithful God and the true kingship, Luke almost seems to say to Matthew, no, it's more than that. And he writes his genealogy, but he doesn't start with Abraham. When Luke writes his genealogy, he starts with Jesus. And he says, Jesus, that's the beginning. Jesus was the son of Joseph. And then he works his way back through David and back through Abraham. But then he works a bit further back. And he says that Noah, who's part of this line, is the son of Lamech, and Lamech was the son of Methuselah, who was the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, son of Canaan, son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God. This is the scope of Luke's gospel. It's bigger and broader even than the covenant made with the faithful God with Abraham, but it includes that. It's bigger and broader even than the true kingship which David, the Son of God, brought, but it includes that. For Luke, Jesus is the Son of God, the Creator, and that theme comes up again and again and again, woven through the narrative. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Luke sets out the trajectory. He tells the friend of God, Theophilus, that's what it means. Theos is God, Philos is friend. He tells the friend of God that in his first book, he's told all that Jesus began to do and teach. And the implication is that this now is the story of that everything that Jesus is going to continue to do and to teach. How? Well, in chapter 1, we're told plainly that you've just heard, thanks, Beryl, that it is through you who are given the Holy Spirit that Jesus is going to continue to do and preach through you. In verse 8, Luke writes that Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I used to think, for about 50 years, that ends of the earth was a topographical reference. It starts in Jerusalem, it spreads out into Judea, it spreads out into Samaria, and the book of Acts ends with Paul in Rome, which, from his point of view, is certainly the ends of the earth. The symbol of all the reaches of geography. And on Friday, I realised I was wrong. I was looking at the original Greek, and I was expecting the word telos, you know, the end of things. Final, done. The conclusion. I was quite surprised to find the word eschaton there. It's a word that we use to talk about the final things, eschatology, the purposes of God reaching their fulfillment. A word that's used to talk about final completion, not the termination, not where things terminate, but where things reach their fulfillment, where everything is made complete and whole. And that is the purpose of God to which you and I are called. And Jesus speaks through his Spirit, continuing to do and to preach through those that are recreated in his image, those who are in Christ. This is your calling, the Spirit working through you and me is Jesus continuing to do and preach. When St. Paul is on that road to Damascus, he's persecuting Christians wherever he can find them, and he's hit by that great light that's so bright that it makes him blind so that he can see. The voice from heaven says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Not, "Why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you being such a rotten person when you're supposed to be a representative of God? Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul, knowing it's the voice of God, the genesis of all things, says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice booms out of heaven, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." As Luke said, that volume 1, the Gospel of Luke, was what Jesus began to do and teach. Now Jesus continues to do and to teach through his Spirit, personally, in there. And you who follow his creatures, created in his image by the Holy Spirit, which is within you, are to be his witnesses, not to the close of the age, not to the geographic limits of the planet, but to the eschaton, the fulfillment of the earth, of God's great purposes, become all that it is to be. And in this great, bold stroke, Luke sweeps in one magnificent arc the purposes of God through the followers of Christ, filled by his Spirit, right back to the fulfillment of creation, where Jesus comes from, Son of God, where God looks at what God has made and pronounces it to be good, whole, full. And to this purpose, we, you and me, are called. God with us, Creator Father, bringing everything to birth, Mother of creation, fire of stars and life on earth, down the countless years composing from the earth's evolving night, love's response. to love and forming mind and soul to seek your light. We're going to sing together.